How I healed my bone quickly, my leg bone, fibula, that's a small one. And so the three stages of healing are the first week it's inflammation, second week is the cartilage, and the third week that the calcium and other minerals start depositing on that. So I took the appropriate supplements to boost that the different stages of healing, except inflammation, you want to allow some inflammation to take place. Don't take anti-inflammatories if you can help it at all, because that's an important part of beginning the healing process.
So when you say no anti-inflammatories, do you mean also natural like turmeric? Something like
Well, you wouldn't want any kind of an anti-inflammatory in the beginning. I was thinking you can take Tylenol because that's a painkiller that's not very anti-inflammatory. But I don't usually like Tylenol. But in this case, I just, if you don't move, I found if I didn't move my leg, it didn't hurt that much. So you could put up with a little bit of pain. And that really seemed to go away after a day or two. Anyway, but you want the inflammation, you want the cartilage to then build. So I took collagen booster to help that. And then the calcium and mineral deposition begins after 2 weeks. So that's when you really want to hit it with calcium supplements. Never take calcium carbonate. This is a bioidentical calcium supplement, osteoapatite. That's the one I use. And then in addition, you want D3 and K2. K2 ushers the calcium into the bone, and Noni juice, which is great for both bone healing. They give it to people who have trouble healing after an injury, a bone break. And they also use it for post-menopausal osteoporosis.
Honey, can you
And
tell me
periodontist of problem.
where you get that, Noni?
Noni, I have the sources at the bottom of the notes, but I just get it from Swanson.
Is it organic?
Yeah, it's organic.
Thank you.
If you ever go to Tahiti or Hawaii, there's these trees grow wild and they look like pineapples, little pineapples. That's Noni, the Noni tree. So they're wild. They're not like a cash crop that people plant. As far as I know, they're just wild.
Unless they do aerial spraying for bugs.
I don't know. Even with organics, I don't know if you can avoid that. So then the realignment of my body after I broke the after the bone healed, my left side was weak. So these are ways that I realigned my body. Not limping. I marched instead of limped. I used a hip brace to hold my hips together. I used a knee brace only when I went for walks, and a copper sleeve over my knee at night to heal it. And then I like Bob and Brad on YouTube. They're physical therapists, and I got a lot of exercises from them to strengthen my foot and leg.
That's, yeah.
And then I also, something I do to prevent, I'm 71, so I don't want to, I want to maintain my mobility. And your butt muscles are really important for motility. So I do leg lifts in all directions. And then I do 10 times in each direction for each leg. And then I balance on my toes in one deep knee bend, not too deep, just you want to strengthen those foot muscles. And then I stand on each foot in a tree pose. And that helps with the balance, and it strengthens all the muscles in your leg.
What's the tree pose?
That's a yoga thing where you stand on one foot and you bring the other foot up and rest it on your leg, and you put your arms up like that. At first, you might have to hold on to something or put your arms out, but then eventually when your balancing improves, just put your arms straight up like that. And
How
hold
did you break your leg?
that.
How did you break your leg?
Oh, at 11 o'clock at night, I'm running up and down the steps and I'm carrying all this stuff up. And when I ran back down the steps, I forgot about the last two steps. So I landed on my foot and then whacked my leg against the step, but I didn't break my computer. Can't heal a computer.
When did this happen, Connie? How long ago?
In August of 2019.
That's about when I missed the last step in my basement. And I thought I broke my ankle, but I didn't. But it was, yeah. Yeah,
it was probably the planets.
Yeah.
Probably Uranus, I don't know.
I landed on it and I felt it twist under me. It just bent, overextended, I did.
But it didn't crack.
No, but you know, I have osteoporosis, but I'm not taking those meds. If I took one of those osteoporosis meds, it probably would have. It would have been so good.
Oh, those meds. No, this is how reversing osteoporosis, you can take Noni for that, and you can take K2 especially, but D3, K2, the osteoappetite, that specific calcium supplement, it's bioidentical. So it has all the minerals that would be present in your bone. Okay, is there any other comments or questions? Has anybody else broken a bone or found anything for osteoporosis?
I haven't broken a bone, but I just wanted to mention that in Credaware, it's a bit expensive, but they have products that have copper in them. And
wait a minute. It's called Incrediware?
Incrediware. And they have, I actually wear their gloves at night because I have arthritic symptoms in my fingers, and it makes a huge difference.
Thanks, because my hands have been getting, I don't know, it's probably from holding the leash. I think I'll get them.
Connie, also comfrey is really good for healing bones.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Comfrey powder or leaf, even leaves, if you just smash them a little bit, as long as it's a solid bone, as long as it's not a joint.
Huh. So would you take it as a tea?
No. Comfrey cannot be consumed by mouth, only external applications. So what I do is I mix what is literally a teaspoon of a comfrey, a couple of drops of olive oil or any other oil, and warm water. It becomes very sticky, pasty, gooey thing. You apply that to externally to the area where you need to. Sorry, Rashida, my disturbance. So you apply that to the area where the bone is broken, and you would do that like. What I do is I just stick a piece of either linen or cotton fabric to it, so it doesn't smudge everywhere else. It leaves permanent black stains.
Oh.
So, however, it's you know, it has everything your skin and your bone needs for healing. My dad broke a leg, and when he went for my mom, immediately she had a comfrey in the garden. She just applied comfrey. She applied leaves, and she didn't have powder. She just used the fresh leaves crushed. When he went for a checkup, it was fully healed bone.
Wow.
And it was really, really quick. I mean, if you just look it up, they actually call it, comfrey has a nickname of bone plant or something like this.
Bone knitter, I think.
Exactly. It's associated with, how does it work? Mode of action? Don't know. I just know it works.
I know, also, oh, Connie, so Samira, you're saying that it can cause permanent stain.
Comfrey powder, yes, it stains what it touches. So what I do is I just stick fabric to it, and then it sticks to the to your body, and you just take it off later.
Oh, permanent stain to clothing, not your skin.
No, clothing only. Sorry, no stains on skin.
Okay. Also, there's a product. It's a gizmo out there. It's been out for years, called Bone Mender, and it's my brother discovered it when his son broke a bone. I think during his growth on his growth plate, and he was in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and then so put a bone mender on him that has electronic stimulation, and bone healed very quickly.
Excellent, that's really good. Bone mender is a device or a
It's an electronic device, and I don't know if you wrap something around it and then it has a battery or you plug it in. I don't remember.
I'll look it up and put a link here.
Okay. So Connie, in Creditware, it's an I, not an A, after the D.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll look all these up and give the links.
Okay.
That's great. Thanks.
I have another supplement here.
Oh, what do you have?
On my calendar, I had bone and joint health was on the 16th. So thank you for calling me. I was thinking skipping this week. I got a free sample from Steve, another free sample, probably $2,000 a few months ago. But this is called Ostinol, Ostinol. And it's by Zycal Bioceuticals.
Is that with a Z or an X?
Ostinol by Zycal. Zycal. Bioceuticals Healthcare Company.
Basically, what's it in it?
Nature's BMP complex.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to look it up and paste the ingredients in.
Collagen proteins and bone proteins.
Okay. So
I did apply kinesiology with this, mm-hmm. and it tested well on me. And then I saw Dr. Riley. I had the accident with the truck, and it's been a long, slow recovery for my bones and my live osteoporosis on top of it. Then, you know, the trauma from this truck and my ligaments and muscles, which are needed to be in good health to keep your bones healthy. And so I brought it to Dr. Riley a couple of weeks ago, and she said, yes, you need to continue this. Now, this is $115, but it was expired. So I got it for free because it was expired. Wow. So she said, yes, and she carries it. Hers was $75 for 30, and it's only 30 capsules in both of them.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And one I got for free was 450 whatever units, mg's. Mm. The one she had is 300 mg's. It's even less, but that's $75. But it's the same thing. Ostinol Advanced Bone and Cartilage helps support growth of bone and cartilage tissue. So the growth of something, right. That's pretty profound.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Well, I'll look that up too. Yeah, Comfrey induces growth and healing of skin. I know they say don't put it on the skin if there's a chance of infection, right? Because it might heal over the infection. You don't want things to heal. The same with yarrow, right? Yarrow heals skin, and they tell you don't put that on if there's a chance of infection.
Does that mean if it's open, like a cut or something, don't put it on?
Yeah, I guess it depends on, like, if you get it right away. I don't know. You know, you have to use your own judgment.
Yeah.
We used yarrow back home on open cuts.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody, I cannot tell you science behind, but as kids in a village with no access to any doctors, yarrow was a plant to go to. Even as kids, we knew what to pick from the field and just crush it a little bit and apply it directly to an open wound. So, but never deep cuts, surface wounds. And I was under the impression that it's antibacterial. That's just my impression.
Oh, really?
Childhood memories, yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
Just the leaf, not the flower, but obviously it would require more research.
Okay. This question mark.
Do you want to hear about my meniscus sure. tear? My meniscus.
Oh, meniscus, you're coming to joints.
Okay, I'll do that later.
Okay. So next I dove into knee and hip joints, osteoarthritis, basically. Mainstream information from arthritis.org. You know, I go to mainstream to get the basics, you know, what it is, what they do, the symptoms. So it's a disease of the entire joint, including bone, cartilage, ligaments, fat, and the tissues lining the joint, the synovial fluid. Osteoarthritis can degrade cartilage, change bone shape, and cause inflammation, resulting in pain, stiffness, loss of motility. Typically develops slowly, but after an injury, it can come on quickly and within just a few years. One thing that they said interesting was that osteoarthritis is not inevitable aging disease. You know how everybody says, oh, it's because we're getting old. But some people never develop it. I think today I found the answer. People with knee degeneration are low in boron, are boron deficient, which is a micro mineral. And it's we're all getting deficient because our food is deficient. So maybe that's why, like my grandparents, they didn't have all this problem. Maybe a few of the old people then did, but never like it is today. And everybody was chanting bone on bone in that Zoom. I had to leave.
Where do you get boron from?
So you can get it from the health food store.
But what foods?
So boron,
you know, it's supposed to be in our vegetables.
It's supposed to be in the soil.
It's supposed to be in the soil, but it's depleted now. So that's why it's not in our food anymore, and therefore it doesn't get in us. And that's why, you know, a lot of the reasons we have to supplement is because the soil doesn't have the nutrients, especially the minerals, and then the food we eat from the soil doesn't have it.
And then we're taking in foods that block certain minerals, like sugar and the bad fats and everything.
And the Roundup, the glyphosate, which is on most of the non-organic foods, probably all of it, and in our neighborhoods, that blocks the mineral absorption. It's a chelator. So anyway, the symptoms. Pips, pain in the groin or the butt, or sometimes the inside of the knee or thigh. For knees, you might get a grating or scraping feeling moving the knee. And fingers, bony growths or spurs at the edge of joints can cause fingers to become swollen. I used to have one of these. It was a big lump on my finger, and it went away when I stopped eating carrageenan. And feet. Pain and tenderness in the big toe. I had that too for a while. Possible swelling in the ankles or toes. So mainstream treatment. They give pain meds like NSAIDs, you know, that's what ibuprofen and aspirin are, NSAIDs, steroids. And they give these other drugs, Cymbalta, which is an antidepressant, and Lyrica, which is anti-seizure. They give that for osteoarthritis. And then there's some OTC over-the-counter products with capsaicin, you know, hot peppers, menthol, or lidocaine, which lidocaine is a local anesthetic. And then they tell you to exercise and weight loss. Well, of course, weight increases the stress on your legs, your knees and hips. Diabetes, controlling diabetes is important since high blood sugar increases joint stiffness. And they use physical therapy, braces, injections of cortisone, which sucks the calcium out of your bones. If you ever take cortisone, that's what it's doing. And hyaluronic acid, which hyaluronic acid, you know, is a natural lubricant in our skin and joints and it's good for you, but in the later studies I'll go over, there are more effective injections that the mainstream doctors usually don't offer. Hyaluronic acid, really, in those studies, didn't show much. And then they go right to joint replacement. So here's one video, how to avoid knee replacement. I guess I like that video. I didn't look at it today, but so, and of course, it's important to read the labels on your food, even organic foods, and never eat carrageenan. It causes arthritis and GI inflammation. And in the lab, we injected it into rats to cause arthritis when we were looking for anti-inflammatory drugs, and the joints would swell by 50% or more.
I also wanted to mention that I found that the nightshades greatly affect my joints. Right. So if I eat any of the nightshades, my fingers will be swollen and sore within hours, usually. So for some people, and not for everyone, but for some people, the nightshades are a huge component. And once you cut them out, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I remember when I first went to Dr. Riley years ago, she tests her new patients with all food allergens. And she said, I am not one of those people that can tolerate nightshades.
Well, I did that at one point and it did help. And then when I went keto, I found, because ketogenic diet is anti-inflammatory too. And so as long as I stayed on that diet, I can eat tomatoes and peppers and all that, which I should put down what they are.
I don't
know. Oh, what's the goji berries? Goji berries are nightshades, which I was quite surprised.
Connie.
What?
Don't forget to announce do not drink Ensure or Boost because they both have that carrageenan in.
I know, that's true. Wait a minute.
We okay. just went through that, didn't we?
Yes. Ensure, and what was?
There's what another one that's called Boost.
Why do they put it in those things? What's it for?
It's a thickener.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, eating gluten-free, it's amazing how many gluten-free foods have carrageenan or other gums in them. And it's a thickener, so or maybe a stabilizer too, but I think it's for the consistency.
Are other gums bad as well, or just the carrageenan?
You know, some people believe they are. I haven't researched that. I'm not sure.
Oh, my son, I don't know either.
My son's just started a binge on doing his own experimental cooking, and he looked up, is it called xanthan gum?
Uh-huh.
And that's in a lot of things, and he has found that to be what he's found so far, so somebody else can look it up, that it's an okay thickener.
Mm. Okay.
Someone may find something different, but he hasn't found anything so far, and okay. he's been using it to thicken things.
Okay, anything else before we go into the supplements for osteoarthritis?
Oh, for the nightshades, there's also potatoes are nightshades.
Oh, right.
So sweet potatoes are okay, but regular potatoes are nightshades. They're from two different families.
Right.
Okay, before you go into the supplements, I have to come forward as a four-time loser in joint replacements. I've had both knees and both hips replaced, and it started with my right hip while I was still working, and I used acupuncture to get me through the remainder of the school year, and then had the right hip removed and replaced in 2002. And if I had only stopped there, because what he found when he operated was that the ball that holds the socket of the hip congenitively had never totally formed as a ball. So I had lived 59 years with half a socket. And of course the surgeon was thrilled to death to find this. He just thought, oh boy, haven't had one of these before. But what that did, because I had lived with it so long, that after it was corrected, the left hip reacted because it had been taking the strain to save the right hip. So it was a chain reaction kind of thing. And then of course the knees were to follow. So the right knee was a total success. I'm 80 years old now. I had it done when I was 59 and I've had no problem. It was a titanium replacement, as was my left one. I won't go into the horrors of my left leg, which is left hip, which left me with lymphedema because of Rothman's, what can I say, Connie? What's a kind word I can use for?
I'm not into kind words.
Comparability or accountability for what they did to me. But anyhow, here's my word on knees. If you have to have your knees replaced, I certainly hope you're not Catholic because you'll never kneel again. You can't, it's metal. And even getting down on my knees, I'm not going to say it's excruciating. It's bearable for a few minutes, but it is very, very, very uncomfortable. Otherwise, my knees work perfectly fine. I had an
excellent doctor who did both of my knees in Wilmington General Hospital, Dr. Bodenstab. I have no complaints about them other than the fact that I cannot kneel. I just can't do that. But walking, they bend perfectly. I haven't been able to do deep knee bends since I had my hips done. It just doesn't work. And that was what caused my early retirement. So had to throw that in because I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if we only knew then what we know now.
That's exactly right.
And also that's interesting about your congenital, your socket, because I believe one of my nieces has that.
Well, the doctor said
the hip goes out.
He said, yeah, I could actually throw my hip out. I used to be quite an attraction in junior and senior high school.
Oh.
Let's throw your hip out, Alta, and I could do it. And they called me double jointed. It wasn't a double joint. It was because I didn't have that hole.
You were half jointed.
Yes, to stay in there. I was half jointed, half witted too.
Aren't we all?
Going through all these others that I had, it has been the latter years of my life. And I am not, I mean, I used to be the disco dancing queen, and that woman's dead for years. So, and it's because of joint replacement. So don't get sold a bill of goods. Make sure there's a really, really, really good reason that you go into joint.
Well, that's all this information is hopefully going to avoid, you know, because before I go mainstream, I always try at least 10 things that are natural and usually can avoid it. So the supplements, now glucosamine sulfate is commonly prescribed in Europe, but it's neglected for some strange reason in the United States. But this is my experience with glucosamine and with my weak knee. I learned about this in 1997. I had just moved to Connecticut and I was moving boxes up and down the steps, well, mostly up. And it was hardwood floors. I wasn't used to that. And my left knee started wearing out and it became so weak that I had to lean against the wall to go up the steps. So at that point, I had learned about, heard about glucosamine sulfate. And from the research I read today, you don't want glucosamine hydrochloride, which is used in some of the studies. And if you use that, it doesn't work. Okay, so why would they use that in the studies? Anyway, I took 1500 milligrams per day, and I forget how long it took, but my knee returned to normal. I didn't have any knee problems at all for a long time. And I think my left knee is my weakest because I drove a car with a clutch through Philadelphia for years, and all that clutching, the repetitive movement wore it out. So I don't still have trouble with my left knee unless something happens. Like the dog ran into it 3 times since I had her. And the one time I used the knee brace for a couple days, but it's pretty good. So in the 1990s, I looked up some studies, even with the internet back then. And they showed that the glucosamine sulfate helped osteoarthritis without side effects. And the results were similar to the NSAID painkillers as far as pain was concerned, but it didn't have the side effects that ibuprofen has, say. So these are 2 articles from back in the 90s. And then I was looking up some recent research, and some of the studies show great significant effects with just glucosamine, and others not so much, you know? And so this study here took apart a few of these studies. It reviewed the studies and it wanted to determine what was different about the various studies. Why did some show a huge effect and others show hardly any? And they came up with this using the wrong form of glucosamine, and also who funds the studies. So they had like 3 different categories of funding, and depending on who funded the studies, the results were different. And then there's chondroitin sulfate, and it acts much like glucosamine in restoring joints, because these are the materials that your body uses to restore the cartilage in your knee and other joints. So the usual dose of chondroitin is 1200 milligrams per day, and sometimes it's used with the glucosamine. And you wanted to take them after a meal for several months to before you determine whether it works for you. If it doesn't work for you after like 6 months, then it's not going to work probably. Then there's this MSM, which is short for methyl sulfonyl methane. And this works as an anti-inflammatory in combination. It works well with the glucosamine and the chondroitin. Sometimes you can find it all in the same product.
It's also good for allergies, the MSM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At fairly high doses, like 8,000, I think, a day.
Okay. And here's one I never heard of before. Avocado and soybean unsapifiables. Can anybody say that?
Unsapifiables.
Oh, good. Okay, it's because you're a librarian, Alta.
Now, well, I was a school teacher too, and you had to learn how to pronounce some pretty crazy last names.
Well, that was pretty good. Anyway, these things are extracts of the avocado and soybean, and one of the brand names is this. Okay, take it away, Alta.
I can't see it. I have my glasses on. Dime.
Okay. Clidine. Piasclidine.
Clidine. Yeah.
Okay. Shorten it. So it may reduce, the studies show it may reduce cartilage deterioration. And they have a review of 4 RCTs, is randomized controlled trials or studies. And this is like the gold standard of research, is randomized controlled studies. So they had just 4 of these studies they reviewed with either hip or knee osteoarthritis, and it showed significant pain reduction, especially in those with knee osteoarthritis. But the therapy, they concluded, should continue at least 3 months to determine personal effectiveness. Like everything, people vary, and the effectiveness of all this is going to vary depending on your personal.
Does that have organic soy in it? Do you know?
That's a good question. I don't know. You'd have to find. I don't think this is not the only brand name. So, and I noticed they sell it on Amazon. So you can look it up. But yeah, I try to avoid soy. Yeah. And then curcumin or turmeric are anti-inflammatories. They're anti-inflammatory. What am I trying to say? Alta, how do you say anti-inflammatories? Okay. We'll leave it there. They found that these 2 spices, basically herbs, can give stomach pain or interfere with some blood pressure drugs. So I guess they're not for everybody. And but in the studies, they found that they could be as effective as ibuprofen for pain, but they were more effective for improving function of the joint. And you should take turmeric with black pepper so it's absorbed. So these were a couple of studies about curcumin and turmeric. Omega-3 fats help with the heart and the joint tissue issues. You know, omega-3s have different concentrations of DHA and EPA fats, and it's the DHA that's more effective for inflammation. Always smell the bottle of capsules to make sure it doesn't smell like dead fish, and keep it refrigerated. I've gone into a lot of people's houses and smelled their omega-3s, and you know, it smells like dead fish. That's not good. And Boswellia is also known as frankincense, and so it's also anti-inflammatory. And here's a review of 11 randomized controlled trials, including 1,009 people. And they compared the effects of Boswellia or curcumin to either placebo or NSAIDs, and showed significantly less pain and more function of the joints with either supplement, comparable to the effects of NSAIDs and without the side effects. And then boron, 3 milligrams per day, is a trace element that's deficient in modern food, and deficiency has been linked to knee problems. There we go. It helps the uptake of calcium, magnesium, and other minerals, and is anti-inflammatory in itself. So Samira, you did this, right?
So yeah, so my husband came across this document, research on boron, of a doctor who did it. I cannot put the time, I don't know, some time ago in Australia. He lived in an area and where he had arthritis issues, and then he moved to another area and nobody in town had arthritis. So he did some research and found a link to boron. So anyway, long story short, I was so desperate. I'm too young to have arthritis in my hands and they're painful. You wake up, I cannot really close my fists comfortably. So my mom has it, so it's definitely, anyway. So we have a food grade borax that he bought. I don't know, one of the, probably Mountain Rose website. I'm not sure where he got it from. But I started using the same research, same doctor who did the research. He said, and I really love the application of it, what fits on the tip of your wet finger is what you consume twice a day. So I'm using that. And I bought Celtic salt that was recommended by somebody online as a really rich source of a range of minerals. So to help to have this combination of boron and minerals, I'm using that salt. It was very expensive in my opinion, but it was, I'm using it as a medicine. I put it on my salads, I put it on my cooked food, but it's not something I would just shake in the dish, whatever. So I did see after using boron, I did see the difference that arthritis in my right hand, swelling went down. Now, nightshades that were mentioned before, it's so hard for me not to eat nightshades right now when my garden is blossoming. So I have just, I'm giving up on cutting down on nightshades, which I know I should and I will. But so I did see, even without taking nightshades out of my diet, I saw the decrease in arthritis. And then I forgot, you know, I forget, I don't take supplements. I my brain is in too many directions. I completely forgot to take it. And after 3-4 days, I started having swelling again. And that reminded me that I need to go back to borax. So it's a food grade borax. What I really want to do next year is I will put it in my garden. It's actually great for pest management, as well as I will get it then through my veggies as well. So I used borax, the laundry detergent version, between my garden beds to manage ants. I had too many ants. I couldn't enjoy weeding and being in my garden, but I didn't want to put it directly in the plants because I think they are adding some soap additives. So it's, I don't know that it can be consumed, the one you buy in supermarket that has a laundry picture on it. And I think it's intentional to sort of like what they did with turpentine to make sure people don't take it if they learn about it. You cannot really take it if it has synthetic additives to it, but we just buy a food grade and I'm consuming it like that. And I saw the difference. Couldn't believe it. I don't trust my husband's medical research too much, but hey, he's proving me wrong every now and then. So this one definitely worked. I don't know that it's for everybody, but I think it's worth trying.
I just looked up on Google. It went to, is borax the same as boron? It's, yeah. Borax is a combination of boron, sodium, and oxygen.
It's really like a rock somewhere in Australia. I don't know. I don't know that it's only there. It's probably elsewhere as well. And I think we don't get it, Connie. I don't know that the soil is depleted. I just think that, like you said, everything is mass produced. And if you're buying stuff from supermarket foods, they're probably, those foods are depleted. I think if things are grown naturally and organically, probably they're much less depleted, but we don't get that in a supermarket. So just again, I will add it to my garden, but my garden is not, I only eat stuff from my garden during the summer. So that's not really year-round sufficient for as a supplement through food. But I just find it really easy just to take it twice a day. I just put it on my tongue, drink it with a glass of water, and that's it.
I think it would be helpful if you wanted to learn how to do applied kinesiology. I have boron by Pure Encapsulations. I've been using it for years.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cheap. For 60 capsules, it's about $10. Pure Encapsulations is a very reputable, pure company. And that's 2 milligrams. And when I test, it saves me a lot of money, number one, because it says serving size 1 capsule. And a lot of these, you know, our doctors will say, take 1 a day. Well, 1 a day would be too much for me. I'd probably have boron toxicity. Yeah. So I only take boron. I only need it usually once a week, and it's only 2 milligrams. So this is what
First time when I took it, because I didn't have any capsule, it was loose. I think I overdosed and I was really scared, but nothing really happened. So I didn't do it, obviously. Again, I filled up one of those veggie capsules with borax, only later to find out that that's probably like 10 milligrams or something. So, but that sounds, it's interesting that, well, I think if you don't have arthritis, you can eat nightshades, you can take it once a week. But if you have, like, I literally had acute pain in my hands and daily swelling, I think taking it daily perhaps is better while you're going through it. But on a regular basis, when you don't have inflammation, like with any other mineral, it's probably just fine to take it once a week.
We all have different mineral needs, and then it interacts with calcium and magnesium, I would assume.
Yes,
and
it does.
But it helps the absorption of calcium and magnesium.
Yeah,
and they had a study. I don't see the link here, but they found that people that needed knee replacement were usually deficient in boron.
And it's pretty strong. And I do have osteoporosis, and I still only need this. And I have severe osteoporosis. I only need this once a week, the 2 milligrams. So, you know, it's good stuff. And I would think that depending on the quality of the boron is very important, just like it is with calcium and magnesium. Hmm. This is boron glycinate.
Oh, okay.
Nancy, just a quick, I don't know if this is a slight diversion, I don't want to go down too far, but for magnesium, every time I take any form of magnesium, I get a headache. What do you do for magnesium supplement? I really need to find something. I'm not sure that I'm consuming enough of it, because everybody tells you, general public will tell you, oh, you get a headache, take some magnesium. I take a magnesium and I get a headache if I didn't have it. So perhaps I just have to find the right version that I can tolerate.
I had problems with magnesium. I had problems with magnesium. I tried all kinds of magnesiums, and I finally found I can tolerate magnesium taurate. It's supposed to be good for your brain. Taurate.
Oh, that's good for your heart. That's what I took for my heart issues.
It's good for your heart, and it's good for your brain too, I think.
Yeah.
But I have no idea why. I think it's Cardiovascular Research. I think it's the company I get it from. I have to double check that.
That's what I use too.
I would make sure there's no additives in it too. I don't know what form of magnesium you were taking or what company it was from.
Well, that was Cardiovascular Research, which I think is a good one. And it was magnesium taurate.
But I tried a lot of liquid magnesiums. It was supposed to be very pure and stuff. And I reacted to all of them. I couldn't believe it. I read the book, The Magnesium Miracle, and I was all psyched to start taking magnesium. And I couldn't take it. But this one I can take. This one helps me, actually.
I will try it again. I think, Connie, you may have lent it me. I just wanted to. I took some from Connie just to test it out before I buy it.
I gave you magnesium 3 and 8.
Oh, okay. So it's different. Okay.
Which was supposed to be good for sleep.
That I tried and I couldn't take. That didn't work for me.
Okay, cool. I have another version to give it a shot.
I was thinking that, you know how migraines start with relaxation of the blood vessels, and magnesium causes relaxation of the blood vessels. I wondered if that was part of the reason.
I just had a similar thought. What if you take magnesium with potassium at the same time? Would that have something?
Oh, Greg, with potassium, did you say?
Yes. I take this before I go to bed to relax me, to help me go to sleep. I don't have sleeping, but it does help me.
Didn't you have that, Samira? Magnesium and potassium?
No, I had a magnesium with three different things. I don't think it was just potassium. It was magnesium and two other, I forget. Calcium and zinc or something. Don't quote me. It was
somebody I was talking to was taking the magnesium and the potassium together. I can't remember who.
So that's another thing to try. Okay.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it before. I have another one that's magnesium as diamagnesium malate and magnesium lysinate glycinate. I have a different one that was free and I tried and it works. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of magnesium: citrate, ascorbate, glycinate, and something called C16 and C18 Alkalist. That's their little formula. Maybe some of this stuff is chelated, I don't know. And then there's Minrex that somebody might be able to tolerate. It's got calcium, magnesium, iodine, zinc, selenium, copper, manganese, chromium, molybdenum, and molybdenum is another thing I take once in a while, and potassium. So I don't know if that's more easily tolerated with other minerals.
Basically for magnesium with other minerals.
Yeah, maybe they can work synergistically and not give you that headache. Mm-hmm. Osopan, I have vitamin D, calcium, MCHC, phosphorus, magnesium, malate, and microcrystalline hydroxyapatite, which is the MCHC. So Zymogen makes a lot of different mineral products, and they're tested for heavy metals. They're cream of the crop, and they're not that expensive.
What's that brand again?
Zymogen, Xymogen.
Oh, Zymogen.
And then I have med caps, and I'm chemically sensitive. I mean, if something gives people problems, it'll give me problems. I know we're all different, but I'm surprised I can handle all of these magnesiums. And maybe some people obviously can't. But I'm really happy because I need a lot of magnesium, even yesterday. I mean, I have to carry this in my pocketbook if I go away, one of the magnesiums, because I'll get jumpy leg syndrome in the car and it drives me wild. I can't settle down.
It's true for me, and that too much walking can be hard on the knees. I remember it was before Connecticut. I was walking with a neighbor and my left knee would bother me after a walk, if it was a long, fast walk. So there's better exercises to do. And I use Bob and Brad they just have hundreds of videos up for almost everything that you could think of. And here's one of theirs on knee pain. And they did demonstrate the over-the-counter knee brace that I use. And there's another one of their videos for hip pain, and just very specific exercises you can do that are good for those joints. Now, I'm a fan of Dr. Berg, and I saw he did an interview with this guy. I didn't write the guy's name down, but the guy's, this is his website, this is the interview, and he has a program called Knees Over Toes. And Dr. Berg said this is how he resolved his joint problems. And it's basically, the basics of it is you walk backwards and then you build up to pulling things. You know, you put a strap around your waist and you pull things backwards. And that is better for your joints. You can look at the website if you're interested. He also wrote a book called Knee Ability Zero, and I saw it on Amazon. It had 3,400 ratings that averaged 4.7. So it was pretty, I guess his name is Ben Patrick. So it seemed like a popular book. And then there was another guy I was watching, Will Harlow, and he was more of a mainstream MD, but then he started talking about boron and these other things that were not mainstream. So I looked up his book, and it's Thriving Beyond 50, 78 Natural Strategies to Restore Your Mobility, Avoid Surgery, and Stay Off Pain Pills in Your 50s and Beyond. So that got 156 ratings and it averaged 4.4 stars. So you can look into that if you're interested. I might look into it, but there's no way we can go over 78 natural strategies today. So finally, this is some, does anybody else have input on exercise for your joints?
Well, I'm going to a physical therapist right now for my accident, for everything. Yeah. And a lot of it is stretching, but I learned how to stretch the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. Yeah, it's easy, just easy stuff, but stuff that we don't do all the time, and just a little bit of repetition every day helps.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't do exercises per se, but the Qigong that I do has made a huge difference in my flexibility and in my just core strength. So I don't want to necessarily say that that's the be all and end all for everyone, but I just wanted to share that for me, it's made a huge difference. It's also made a difference in my my knees and my flexibility. So I don't do stretching, but I really feel with my Qigong that I just feel like I have stretched. I mean, I feel like I have that extra flexibility.
Because it's the energy is moving through you. And yeah, I know when I did Qigong, that was years ago. I started doing that instead of yoga. And it was really amazing how I felt after that. So thanks for the reminder. I think
my experience is going through this physical therapy and everything and sort of being forced to do it, you know, and mm-hmm. I have to stop everything and do it. And my experience is, you know what, just half an hour every day. I want to become disciplined where I do that for the rest of my life, because basically I'm sitting here on the telephone paying bills or sitting in the car going somewhere and not being very active. And it makes a huge difference.
Mm.
And the stretching helps the muscles, which helps the ligaments, which helps the bones, and it helps with our balance. My balance is so much better. I didn't do balance exercises, but my balance has gotten so much better because after my accident, my balance was horrible. And, you know, it got my core, my core balance back and my strength and my stamina. And we've got to keep moving.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. So, anything else about exercise? I think we all have something we do, I think. Samira Garden's like a maniac.
Yeah, I've been out beads lately because they've gone to pot, not literally. because of my accident, everything just had to be on hold. And lately, right after the big rains, they're coming out really easily. I have a lot of crabgrass right in the front, and I don't want it to creep further in my yard and go in my backyard.
Yeah.
I've been ripping. I don't use pesticides. So what I found was I did get inflamed for a couple of days, but through the physical therapy, I learned it's okay when you have emotion that you've been doing, then it makes sense. Do the opposite. Just bend.
Oh, right. Do the opposite movement.
Stretch them like this and push gently, be gentle and push against them. And just do 2 sets of 10 a couple times a day makes a huge difference.
Hmm. That's a good point.
You know, if I'm chopping something, you know, stop chopping if it's getting tired, and then just push them back with your other hand gently. Don't force them, but make them go further than they would normally go in a rest position.
Yeah, I have to do that. I'm getting leash hand.
Blaming that dog. Dog gets
this. There's 2 types of injections. And I actually used to take a friend of mine for this PRP injection. And so they take blood out and they spin it down a couple of times to take the blood, the growth factors out of your own blood and inject it into the joint. And that helps regenerate the tissue, the lesions in the knee. And so this WOMAC score is something they use to measure how bad your osteoarthritis is. So that explains, you know, some of the studies. So this PRP, this study is about knee injections, and it provided favorable results on degenerative cartilage lesions. So this is the link, and they did 100 patients with chronic knee degeneration and treated them and evaluated their with this WOMAC score before and at the end of their treatments, and 6 and 12 months post-treatment. So the improvements in stability of the joints were significant and lasted through the 6-month follow-up, but then it started declining by the time they came back for their 12-month follow-up. So I'm not sure, you know, you can look up if you're interested, look up these studies to find the details.
Yeah, my husband did that.
Did, and what was his?
He had a meniscus tear too. He had torn his meniscus in his knee. This was about 10 years ago, I think. And he did the shot, you know, where they spun it and everything. The shot itself was very painful for him. He couldn't drive home. I had to, we drove like an hour to this doctor that did that because nobody was doing it back then. And his knee was very painful for about a day, but then it did work. His knee did heal.
How long did it stay healed?
Good question, because he has problems with his knees again. But
how long ago was this?
About 10 years ago, I think. It was a while ago. It was really new when he had it done. Hardly anybody was doing it.
Yeah, that's when I took my friend way back. She actually, we went down to Philadelphia and this guy tried to talk her into knee replacement. And so we talked him into doing this PRP shot because we heard that he did it, you know. So he did a great job. She felt better immediately. And when it was time to go down again, she decided that she didn't want to deal with Philadelphia traffic. So she went to another guy that was close to her. And number one, it was painful. Number two, it didn't seem to work. So she tried a third doctor, and that doctor couldn't even find her vein.
Oh, no.
Take blood. So there you go. You know, maybe it's worth the drive if you find some. Oh, when we went back for a second visit in Jefferson, I think it was, in Philadelphia, the doctor said, you know, before the first visit, he took the x-ray, and I thought, okay, he's going to use the x-ray or MRI to measure whether the joint is coming back. Well, the second visit, he never bothered taking the picture, and we asked him about it, and he goes, no, I'm just interested in whether you want a knee replacement. Are you ready for knee replacement? And that was after she started getting better.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So they were really pushing to do the surgery.
Yeah. That's big money.
So how many times did your husband have the PRP shot?
I think he just did it the one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know.
Yeah, Tiger Woods had it, so he wanted it.
I was just going to say, I would like to know what sports injury physicians, the real top ones, do, because they heal these people real fast when it comes to money and football and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They use that.
Oh, okay. I think that's how we found out about it, was because of the sports medicine down there.
Yeah, follow the money, right? And they're going to have... They go with the teams, you know, they follow the teams everywhere they go.
Yeah. I think that was another reason they weren't that interested in her, because she was old, you know, not an athlete. So this other study, treatment of knee joint osteoarthritis with PRP, and they compared this to the hyaluronic acid, which a lot of doctors mainstream uses, right? And so there were 120 patients divided into two groups and injected with either PRP or hyaluronic acid. Those receiving PRP had significant improvement at the 3 and 6 month follow-up. I guess that was compared to hyaluronic acid. The PRP was more effective.
And how many shots did they get?
That's a good question. I didn't go into the details of each study because there were so many. But here was a comparison between the shots of placebo, steroids, hyaluronic acid, and PRP for knee osteoarthritis. And this was a meta-analysis from 30 randomized controlled trials, including 3,463 patients. And at, the follow-ups at the 3, 6, and 12 months, PRP did the best out of all the scores, the WOMAC scores. And then the other three did much worse, you know, like there wasn't that much of a difference between these three. So this hyaluronic acid that they're pushing doesn't seem to work that well. And the steroids, of course, they'll suck the calcium out of your bones. So that's a sure way to lead to joint replacement is to take
the remember steroids. That study they did on fake knee replacements? Like, it was a big study. It was a while back, maybe like 10 years ago. They did this study where they told people they were having surgery and they give some kind of fake thing, you know, where they maybe drilled a little bit into their knee or something to make it look like they'd had surgery, but they didn't. And they compared it to the people that had surgery. And the people that didn't have the surgery did just as well, if not better, than the people that actually had the surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. I know he went for the prolotherapy and he went down to, I think it's Georgetown, Delaware. There's a guy that used to be an osteopathic surgeon and did knee replacements until he needed one. And then he found alternatives. So, he does prolotherapy, he does PRP, he does a bunch of stuff. But this prolotherapy is just an injection of concentrated dextrose solution for the purpose of local treatment of musculoskeletal pain and possible enhancement of repair mechanisms. This systemic review down here and meta-analysis examines the clinical utility of prolotherapy injections for the treatment of knee osteoarthritis. And they reviewed.
So sugar heals, they're saying.
What?
Sugar heals.
Yeah, this could make your head explode, right? Sugar heals. So they reviewed 5 randomized controlled studies with a total of 319 treated patients. And the prolotherapy significantly improved the total WOMAC score, knee pain and function. So that was another study, I guess. So if you know, this is like, I don't know, it would be for me probably the last resort. You know, if I was really headed to joint replacement, which I can't see myself ever doing that.
Now, how does this relate to hip replacement?
They can do that with this,
Yeah, he will not get a hip replacement, but he's not doing anything, and he's getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, all these things you can use for knee or hip, right? I know one of the studies said it worked better with the knee than the hip, but
yeah, he's taking the supplement that you told him to take when he remembers it. And yeah. I meant to send you, I think I didn't finish it because I unexpectedly had to watch the grandkids when they didn't have school the other day. And I was going to work on it. I guess I didn't send it to you, but I also found another good one, joint food.
Oh, okay.
This one I think this is cheaper than the one that you suggested to my husband, Gary.
Yeah.
This tests well on me for all of my symptoms with my joints and my bones. And since my accident, the inflammation, it's food.
Does it help?
Oh yeah. I take 2 a day. I test for 2 a day.
Okay. I'm going to look up, what's the company?
I got it online.
Okay. Well, I'll look it up.
Hamastein. I don't know. That's a patent. It's just jointfood.com.
Okay.
Joint food. I guess that's the company. And then.
Oh, I'll look up the ingredients.
Yeah. Vitamin C, Hamastein, MSM, Botswella, hyaluronic acid, CMO, collagen, different collagens.
That's the other thing. I started putting a tablespoon of collagen in my coffee in the morning. And I think that might be the reason my knee's still intact after the dog hit it 3 times. Well, when I was stressed for certain reasons a few months ago, I discovered ashwagandha. And I put ashwagandha in my coffee, like a half a teaspoon or something. And man, that chilled me out.
Yeah, ashwagandha is great. And you're blaming the dog again, so.
Focus, FX Focus. And it is, these little individually wrapped chocolates with ashwagandha in them.
Oh, wow. I love chocolate and ashwagandha.
I know. And remember, if you travel, you get a little chocolate on your pillow. So before bed, I'll take this. It helps me sleep. And they have other like herbal things. This is on Amazon. this FX. And it's my new, you know, favorite thing.
So I was going to share that there's one product that I found for my fingers. In addition to the gloves that I use, the IncrediWear gloves.
Okay.
Nature's Plus. It's not a cheap product, but I found that it really makes a huge difference for me. So it's glucosamine, chondroitin, and MSM. It's ultra RX joint and it's extended delivery.
Get for bones, strontium.
For bone, oh, strontium, right. Forgot about that.
I test for it only about once a week. Well, I don't want to overdo it. We overdo things and then you can get more problems somewhere else.
Right. Okay.
I've got
I put that up with supplements for bones, healing bones.
Okay, I've got Ipriflavone.
What?
Ipriflavone.
Wait a minute.
Like slabs. It's a flavonoid.
Oh, wait a minute. What's the last couple letters? FLA.
V as in Victor.
Okay.
Oh. Vone, V-O-N-E. And it's a unique isoflavonoid nutrient that helps support bone density.
Okay.
I've got another bone one. So I rotate, I might take, you know, one a week is all I test for. New Chapter is making, I notice, supplements that are fermented.
Huh. And
the fermented, something else? It was zinc, I think. Wow, my body was going crazy with that one.
You needed zinc?
Yeah, but this I'm showing you is called Bone Strength. And it's plant sourced, whole food calcium, reduces the risk of osteoporosis, lowers release formula with magnesium, D2, D3, D3, K2, wild crafted from Iceland. That sounds like, and it has some strontium in it, silica, vanadium, K1 and K2. So I like to, switch things around so your body doesn't have the same of one thing and it's getting 80.